السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله، by the توفيق of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to complete Surah Al-Ma'idah today. Alhamdulillah, that will be another surah that you will have completed, inshallah, by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, and may He grant us steadfastness so that we can complete the whole Quran in this manner. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, we're going to start off with ayah number 116 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, and will end at ayah number 120, which is the last ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Let's begin with the word meanings, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa, and, ith, when, qala, he said. This is in the third person and singular. So, qala means he said, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that the word Allah ends with a dhamma. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one doing whatever is mentioned with it. So, qala Allahu means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Ya Isa. Ya means O, and it's used to address someone. So, Ya, O, Isa, Isa alayhi salam, Ibna, son, Maryama, of Mary, or Maryam. A'anta. A in the beginning is used to ask a question. So, A means did. Anta, you. Kulta, you said. Kul comes from the same root word as the word qala, which is kol. Kol means to say something. Okay, so kul said, ta, you. Linnasi, li, to. Al, the. Nas, people or mankind. Ittakhidhuni. Khudh is the root word here, and that means to take. So, ittakhidhu is a command, and it's plural, we see, because it ends in waw, waw sukun, after the dhamma. So, ittakhidhu, you all take or make, ni, me. Wa, and ummi, mother. And then the ya at the end means my. So, wa ummiya, and my mother, ilahaini. Ilah is the root word, and that means God. And aini tells us that this is in the dual form. Okay, so anytime a word ends in ani or aini, it means that it applies to two people or two things. So, ilahaini, two gods, min, from, duni, besides or other than, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala, he said, meaning Isa alayhi salam said, Subhanaka, Subhana, we've covered this word before, glory or free of all defects, ka, are you. Okay, Subhanaka, your glory, ma, not, yakunu. This word comes from kun, which means to be, and the ya in the beginning makes this word in the third person form. So, yakunu, it is. Li, for me. The ya at the end means me. So, li, for me, an, that, akula. A in the beginning in this word means I, and then kol, which means to say. Akula, I say, ma, what, leysa, is not, li, for me. Bihaqwa. Bi means at all or in the least. Haqwa, any right. In, if, kuntu, kun, was, And tu means I. Okay, tu in the end means I. So kuntu, I was, or I had. Kultu, I said. Hu, it. Fa qad, fa, then, qad, in fact. Alimtahu. Ilm is the root word and that means to know. And ta means you. So alimta, you knew. Hu, it. Ta'alamu. Again, ilm is the root word, which means knowledge. Ta in the beginning means you. So ta'alamu, you know. Ma, what. Fi, in. Nafsi. Nafs means soul. And ya at the end means mind. So nafsi, my soul. Wa, and. La, not. A'lamu, I know. Alif in the beginning means I, and then ilm. So, a'lamu, I know, ma, what, fi, in, nafsik. Nafsi means soul, ka, yours. So, Isa alayhi salam is saying this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innaka, inna, indeed, ka, you. Anta, only you. Allamu, this word again comes from ilm, which means knowledge. Allam means the one who is most knowing. One who is all-knowing. Al-Guyub. Al means the, and Guyub is plural for the word Guyib, which means the unseen. So Al-Guyub, the unseens. Ma, not, kultu. Kul, said, tu, I, lahum. La, to, hum, them. Illa, except. Ma, what? Amarutani. Amar, ordered. Ta, you, ni, me. So, amartani, you ordered me. Bihi, be with, he, it. An, that. U'budu. This word comes from ibada, which means to worship. So, u'budu is a command. It's a verb that ends in vowelif. So, a lot of people are being addressed here. So, u'budu, you all worship. Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, Rabb, means Lord, Master, Creator, Sustainer, and Ya at the end means mine. So Rabbi, my Lord, Wa and Rabb, Lord, Kum, yours. Wa and Kun, was, tu, I. So Kuntu, I was. Alay, upon him, them, Shahidan, a witness. Ma, ma means as, but ma dum tu put together means as long as, and tu in the end means I. So ma dum tu, as long as I, fi, in, or among, him, them. Falamma, fa, so, lamma, when, the wafaytani. Wafa means to fully take back. Okay? The wafa means to recall. So the wafayta, you. Recalled, or you fully took, ni, me, kunta, kun, were, ta, you, anta, only you, arraqib, the one who watches, alayhim, alay, upon him, them, wa, and, anta, you, ala, upon, kulli, all, or every, shay'in, thing, shaheed, a witness. In, if, tu'adhibuhum. Adab is the root word and that means punishment. Tu in the beginning means you. So tu'adhib, you punish. Hum, them. Fa innahum. Fa, then, inna, indeed. Hum, then, they. Fa innahum, then, indeed, they. They are ibadu. This is plural for the word abd, which means a servant or slave of Allah. Ibad, servants, ka, yours. Wa, and, in, if, taghfir, you forgive. Ghafara is the root word and that means to forgive. Ta in the beginning means you. So taghfir, you forgive. Lahum, la, for whom, them. Fa innaka, fa, so, inna, indeed, ka, you, anta. Only you, al-aziz, the always almighty. Al-hakim, the always all wise. These are both attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala, he said, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qala Allahu, hadha, this, Yomu, a day. Yanfa'u, it benefits. Nafa'a is the root word, and that means to benefit or profit. Yanfa'u, it benefits or profits. As-sadiqina, sidq is the root word, and that means truthfulness. Sadiq is one who speaks the truth. So as-sadiqin, ina ending makes this word plural, and al in the beginning means the. So as-sadiqin, the truthful ones, or those who are truthful. Sidquhum, sidq, truth, hum, theirs. Lahum, la, for, only for, hum, them. Jannat, this is plural for the word jannah, which means a garden. So jannat, gardens or paradise. Tajri, flows or runs. Min, from. Tahtiha, tahti, underneath or beneath. Ha, it. Al anhar, the rivers. Khalidin, one's dwelling eternally. Khalid means the one who lives forever, and ina ending makes this word plural. So one's dwelling eternally. Fiha, fi, in. Ha, it. Abada, forever. Radia, he was pleased. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So radiyallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased. An, with. Usually an means from, but here it makes more sense in English to translate this to with. So he was pleased with whom, them, wa, and radu. Now this is plural. They were pleased. An, with, who, him. Thalika, the, al-fawz. Al means the, fawz, success. So al-fawz is the only success, the ultimate success. Al-azim, the most great. Lillahi, li, for, only for. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulku, kingdom. As-samawat, this is plural for samaa, which means sky or heaven. So as-samawat, the skies, or the heavens. Wa, and. Al-ard, the earth or land. Wa, and. Ma, whatever. Fi, in. Hinna, them. Wa, and. Huwa, he. Ala, upon. Kulli, all or every. Shay'in, thing. Qadir, always all powerful, always all able. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start off with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. After telling us about the whole conversation with Isa alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have on the Day of Judgment, he tells us about the main point. Okay, so he gets to the main point in the ayat that we're going to cover today. وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ, and when Isa alayhi salam will say, O Isa, son of Maryam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, did you say to people, worship me and my mother as gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Isa alayhi salam. If he had told people to worship him and his mother instead of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this. Christianity is the largest religion in the world today. And so many have passed away before. So many Christians. So imagine all those people who have this belief that na'udhu billahi Isa alayhi salam and his mother are also gods or share some sort of powers with God. Imagine that they're all going to be standing there on the Day of Judgment after having believed their whole life that Isa alayhi salam was a god too. Na'udhu billah. Or that he was a son of God, or that his mother was also a god. So they're all going to be standing there and they're going to listen to this conversation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say to Isa alayhi salam, did you tell people to worship you and your mother? So they believe in Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and Mother. That's one of their beliefs, right? Astaghfirullah. Allahu Akbar. So the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about will be extremely tough on Isa alayhi salam. when he will have this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be easy for him. But subhanAllah, Isa alayhi salam is so humble. So he's not going to deny it right away or say that, no, this never happened. Okay, he's not going to say, no, I never said such a thing. Because he's very humble. Okay, so instead, qala, he will answer, subhanaka ma yakunu li an akula ma laysa li bihaqq. Okay, so he's going to say, glory to you. How could I say what I had no right to say? He is so humble. Okay, so he starts off by saying subhanaka. He doesn't say anything else. So the first thing he says is subhanaka. You are free of all defects, O Allah. Glory to you. And he says, how could it be suitable for me to say such a thing? I wouldn't dare say such a thing. How could I have the right to say anything like that? To tell people to make me and my mother gods? Allahu Akbar. Centuries have passed since Christians have been worshipping Isa alayhi salam and his mother, when it's not the right thing to do. Think about how people who follow Christianity will feel when they hear this conversation take place between Isa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they hear all this in the ground of Hashr, when they're all gathered to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know that they had worshipped Isa alayhi salam and his mother their whole lives. When they hear this conversation, what are they going to feel? And they're going to see how humble and helpless Isa alayhi salam is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they're going to realize that Isa alayhi salam is powerless in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is a slave of Allah. He is not God. He doesn't share any of the powers of God. He is an abd. He's a slave of Allah. So they're going to be so afraid when they realize that he's not going to be able to save them on that day. Even though they believed all throughout life that he has taken responsibility for their sins, and that's why he was crucified. They think that they can get away with whatever wrongdoing they do because he took their sins upon himself. But then when they find out the truth, how are they going to feel that day? We should tell the Christians about these ayat now, before it's too late, so they know what the Quran says about them. When these ayat are recited to Christians, they're shocked. And some of them even accept the truth after hearing these ayat, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the ability to understand all this. Allahu Akbar. But the time when Isa alayhi salam will be questioned is mentioned here. Okay? And he is not going to find it easy to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be very difficult for him, especially because he knows how big of a sin it is to do shirk. He knows that it's such a great shirk. It's such a great sin to commit shirk like that. And they used his name to say that he's the son of God or he shares some powers with Allah. Na'udhu billah. So he says, how can I dare to say such a thing, O Allah? He says, O Allah, you know the ghaib. You know the unseen. If I had said it, you would have definitely known. So he says, إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ. If I had said it, you would have certainly known. You would have definitely known already. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي. You know what's in my heart. If I had wanted to say such a thing, or I had actually said it, na'udhu billah, you would have known, O Allah. We learned that Isa alayhi salam will be so humble. He's going to be as humble as possible when he says all this. That's what we find out. That Allah knows what is in his heart. He's going to say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. But I do not know what's in yours. I don't know your ilm, O Allah, but you know everything that's in my heart and whatever I disclose to others. So he's saying that he cannot be God because Allah is the one who knows everything about him. And he doesn't know anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Indeed, you have full knowledge of all the unseen. You are the most knowing of the unseens. So how can I be God? This is Isa alayhi salam's answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, all the people who believe that Isa alayhi salam is God will know that they were all wrong. Okay, they're going to know that all along they were wrong. Isa alayhi salam will be helpless before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to feel like he's powerless. And he admits it fully. And then he will say, مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ. I never said anything other than what you commanded me to say. This is what he's going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people who don't listen to and follow the messenger and whatever message their messenger brought, and they go against his teachings, their messenger will be questioned about the wrongdoing of those people on the Day of Judgment. And with Isa alayhi salam, even though it's done to show his followers that he is helpless and he's not God himself, he is still being questioned because of them. Because of all these people who came up with this false belief that he shares some sort of power with God or he's the son of God. So they're causing difficulty for him. They're going to make things difficult for him on the Day of Judgment. So if we want to make our Prophet proud, if we want to make Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pleased with us, we should do the right thing. We should follow his teachings. So Isa alayhi salam will say that he only told people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to tell them. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا. I did not say anything to them except أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ. What you ordered me. This means that this is the only thing he taught people. Whatever Allah commanded him to say. He didn't say anything else. He only conveyed the message to people. And that proves that Isa alayhi salam never told people that he was the son of God or any such thing. They lie when they say such things. And then Isa alayhi salam will say what he did tell people. أَنِي عَبْدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. So he told people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is my Lord and your Lord. This is what he told people. To only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does it mean to worship Allah? It means to follow his orders, to be humble before him, out of love and obedience to him. So we have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to obey him, and we have to humble ourselves before him. So all three of these characteristics make up worship. Okay, all three acts. So we have to do all three things. We have to develop that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to obey him, and we have to humble ourselves before him. That's how we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So Isa alayhi salam says that he told people to worship Allah, and he told them that he is his Lord and their Lord. He never instructed them to worship anyone else. And the Quran tells us all this clearly, that Isa alayhi salam only told people the truth. He never told people to worship him. When he says that Allah is Rabbi, meaning my Lord, he's basically saying that he is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is his servant. He is inferior. How can he be a son of Allah? Or anything close to God? He never claimed to have any special powers or control to do anything on the Day of Judgment. He doesn't have that authority. He told people that Allah is his Rabb, meaning his master, his creator, his sustainer. So when he says that Allah is his Rabb, he means to tell them that he is the slave of Allah, just like all of them. He doesn't have any special connection to Allah. that they don't have. So this means that all humans are the same in this manner, that they all are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they were the special prophets or normal people like us. We are all ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all His servants. And some people, of course, like the messengers, have a very high status near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have very high ranks. But that doesn't mean that they have some other relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a son or whatever else. They cannot be anything but the slaves of Allah. Of course, people will have different ranks near Allah. Some will have higher ranks and others lower ones. But the relationship between people and Allah is always that of slaves and Rabb in all cases. He is our Lord, He's our Creator, our Sustainer, and we're all going to return to Him. Right? And we are His slaves, we are His servants. And then he says, وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ. And I was a witness over them as long as I remained among them. I watched over them as long as I was with them, O Allah. This is what Isa al-Islam is going to say. فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. But when you fully recalled me, you were the watcher over them. He says that once he was lifted, once he was raised to the skies alive, he doesn't know what they did afterwards. Now, the Qadiani people misinterpret this part, and they say that the Wafaitani means that Isa alayhi salam passed away already. Okay? And that their leader was sent as the second Messiah, Astaghfirullah. Okay, they say that he is the second Messiah. But they should know that Isa alayhi salam is saying this on the Day of Judgment. When he says, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. All this whole conversation takes place on the Day of Judgment. It's going to happen in the future. So even though he has not passed away yet, of course by then he will have passed away. After he comes back to this world. Because we know that he will come back to this world. And he's going to pass away. That's why he will say all this on the Day of Judgment. And secondly, the people who believe in some ahadith that they select instead of all the ahadith of Prophet ﷺ, they claim that Isa alayhi salam did pass away already, and that's why he will say that he didn't know what happened after he passed away. And only Allah knows what happened after him. That it's because he passed away. But we should know that some scholars, like Ghamdi, who only believe in some ahadith, deny that Isa alayhi salam will come back. They say that he passed away already. Okay, even though that's not true. Instead of turning to ahadith to find the explanation of the Quran, we should not turn to such scholars and listen to their opinion. When there are so many tawatur hadith about this. Okay, tawatur means by so many sahaba, the same hadith. Okay, that we get the same narration, which means that it's impossible for all of them to tell us a lie. Right? How could they all lie, na'udhu billah, about the same thing? When there are so many ahadith about Isa alayhi salam being sent to this world again, how can we deny this? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By my Lord, I swear by my Lord, the time is close when Isa alayhi salam will descend among you all as a just ruler. He will break the cross, he will kill the swine and get rid of the jizya or taxes. Everyone will be so wealthy and there won't be anyone willing to take wealth, meaning charity. Okay, to take money. And one sajda or one prostration at that time will be better than this whole world and everything in it." And this is a Bukhari hadith. So it's very authentic. But some people still deny it. Astaghfirullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Zukhruf, ayah 61, The Isa Alayhissalam will be one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, and he tells us not to have any doubts about that. Besides this, there are many Muslim narrations about Isa Alayhissalam too. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa bin Maryam will descend and he will establish justice. He will break the cross and he won't charge jizya or taxes. And he will let the youthful camel go. So nobody will use that camel for work. Jealousy and envy will be removed from the hearts of people. And Isa alayhi salam will call people to take money, but nobody will be willing to take it, because everybody will have more than enough. So nobody will need sadaqah or charity. There are many other hadith too about Isa alayhi salam. And some even describe how Isa alayhi salam will look when he descends. And they tell us exactly where he will come down when he comes down to this earth. And we're told about the things he will do when he comes back too. So there's no way that all these ahadith can be rejected, when there are so many authentic ahadith from different narrators. So it doesn't make sense for people to say that Isa alayhi salam says here that he passed away. This ayah is just telling us about the dialogue that will take place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Isa alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment. And we should keep in mind that the word used here is the wafidani. And that can mean you fully recalled me, or you took me fully, or you caused me to die. Any of those things. When people try to accuse Isa alayhi salam and crucify him because of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to the sky fully. Okay, with his body and his soul. And Ahli Sunnah wa Jama'ah firmly believe that Isa alayhi salam will come back. Whoever says anything different about this is going against the belief of the Ahli Sunnah. So when Isa alayhi salam says that, O Allah, when you raise me up fully, I don't know what people did after that. That's what he means. After Isa alayhi salam was raised up alive, a king named Sha'un or Sha'ul came to power who had been Jewish before. So he was Jewish before, but he... when he was Jewish, he tortured the Christians a lot. Okay, then one day he made up a story and he told people something. He said that he saw a light come down from the sky when he was traveling once. And when he asked that light what it was, it told him that it was Isa. And he was... this man... Sha'un or Sha'ul, the king, he was causing a lot of pain to Isa alayhi salam, that he was hurting him by whatever he was doing. So then this person accepted Christianity. He became a Christian and he named himself Bolus, a Christian name. He was the one who added the concept of Trinity to Christianity, and he changed many other basic things about it too. Many other basic beliefs. So he changed the laws about halal and haram things as well. Okay, and he made the swine lawful. So Isa alayhi salam will say, Oh Allah, I don't know what people did after you fully recalled me. Because the prophets don't know what happens after they pass away. And this is why on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he will ask the prophets, they won't know what their people did after them. They'll only know what they did while they were still alive. And also when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be at the fountain of Kauthar with all the Muslims, and he'll notice that the angels come and start taking away some of the people, he's going to say that they are people from his ummah, to leave them there. But the angels are going to say that he doesn't know that they came up with innovations in deen, with bid'at, after him. So once he hears that, he will turn them away too. So he's not going to know that people did these things after he passed away. Okay, because prophets do not know the ghaib. unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to disclose anything to them. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't know what happened after he passed away, and neither does Isa alayhi salam after he was raised alive. He doesn't know what people are doing right now. But if we make the tawaffaytani actually mean you caused me to die, that makes sense too. Because when he will pass away before the day of judgment, after he comes back to this earth, he can say that you caused me to die on the day of judgment. That's when this conversation will take place. Okay, he would have passed away by then, and he wouldn't know what people did after his death. So we shouldn't dispute over what this ayah means exactly, because it's not meant to guide us about our fundamental beliefs. So just think of it as a dialogue between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Isa alayhi salam, because that is what will happen on the day of judgment. Isa alayhi salam says that he does not know what happened at all after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him. وَأَنْتَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ, and you are a witness to everything. All that has passed and is still to come, you know. Now the next part is very powerful. Isa alayhi salam says, إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, if you punish them, then indeed they are your servants. Think of what will happen when Isa alayhi salam says this on the day of judgment. Because he means, oh Allah, they committed a great crime by doing shirk. If they worshipped me and my mother, they committed shirk. And I can't say anything, nor do I have the power to do anything for them. So if you choose to punish them, they are your servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to do whatever he wants, and nobody can question his decisions or complain about his decisions. So when Isa alayhi salam says, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, that if you choose to punish them, O Allah, then they are your servants. The matter is between you and them. When he says this in front of everyone, we know that he's going to be completely helpless on that day. He's not going to have any power to help anyone. So how can people say that he will save them on the day of judgment? They committed shirk, right? In their lives, they committed shirk, and they committed a great sin when they did shirk. And Isa alayhi salam is not going to intercede for them at all. He will clearly say that they are the servants of Allah, and he can do whatever he wants with them. Because Isa alayhi salam will not have the power to interfere between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his people. Okay, even though he is one of the ulul azm, one of the five messengers with the greatest ranks, one of the five greatest messengers, okay, he's not going to have any power at all to do anything. So he will be so humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ عِنْدَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and if you forgive them, you are almighty, all-wise. It's all up to you, O Allah. You have all the authority, all the power. You have the wisdom to do whatever you want. Nobody can stop you. So he is the one who will question people about what they did. Nobody can question him about anything he decides. We learn from a Sahih Muslim narration. Once Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing in prayer at night, reciting ayat from the Quran. He recited the ayat that tell us the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made, in which he said, "Oh my Lord, they," meaning the idols, "have led astray so many people. Whoever follows me is from my group, but as for the ones who don't, O Allah, you are the all-forgiving, all-merciful." Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this ayah and tells us what Isa alayhi salam will say. Okay, so he recites this ayah that Isa alayhi salam will recite on the day of judgment. إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. And when he read this, he kept crying, thinking about it. Thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish all of them because he has the power to do so. Or that he can forgive them. He continued to cry. And then he raised his hands in dua and he said, Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati. Meaning, O Allah, my ummah. O Allah, my ummah. He was so worried about us. He didn't say that Allah can punish us or forgive us. He didn't say what Isa alayhi salam says here, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ عَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He doesn't say that. He was so worried about his ummah. He kept crying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam and he asked, he told him, go and ask my prophet why he's crying. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything already. But he sent Angel Jibreel so we can all find out about it too. And Jibreel alayhi salam asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking why you are crying. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him the reason, his ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Angel Jibreel, go and say to him that I will make you happy about your ummah. I will please you concerning your ummah. Allahu Akbar. We don't even know how to make du'as for ourselves the way we should, with love and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'as for us on our behalf, because he cared for us so much. He did so much for all of us. He was so worried that he made dua for us, saying, Allahumma ummati. He was worried about his ummah. When he recited this ayah about what Isa alayhi salam will say, he started to cry and continued crying, thinking that this is what Isa alayhi salam will say, but this is not what I want to say. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his ummah. Now, in the next ayah, we come to the end of the whole conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Isa alayhi salam. That's going to take place on the Day of Judgment when all the messengers are going to be gathered and questioned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Christians to know, after the past few ayat that we covered, that Isa alayhi salam will not be able to do anything for them on the Day of Judgment. So they should follow the truth. They should follow the haqq and do the right thing. In the end, قَالَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. This is the day on which the truthful will profit from their truth. Only the truth will benefit people who speak the truth. What is the greatest truth in this world? The greatest reality. That there is only one master, one owner, creator, and lord of this whole universe. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Tawheed. And it's the greatest truth of all. And the greatest lie in this world is shirk. When people associate partners with Allah, when they say that others have powers like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce that the truth will benefit the truthful people. Those who followed Tawheed. They believed in one Allah. And they believed that there's only one ilah. They lived their lives according to his rules. They never bowed before anyone else. And they didn't take anyone else as God. they will benefit so much from the truth on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the truth when it comes to all matters, not just when it comes to Tawheed, but with all our affairs. When people speak the truth, it will help them so much on the Day of Judgment. And lying is going to disgrace people there. According to Hadith, a person keeps lying. So obviously he develops the habit of lying about everything. Everything big and small, whether it's important or not. So a person keeps lying until his name is written in the skies near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the liars. So it's written in a list of liars. Astaghfirullah. Imagine if someone's name was written down and then next to it we see the word liar. Astaghfirullah. And according to the same hadith, a person keeps telling the truth and one day his name is written among the truthful people near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the skies. Nobody will be able to erase their name from that book of liars to move it to the book of the truthful people once it's there. Okay? So we should try to figure out where our name would be right now. Okay? We should speak the truth always. What do we do when we speak to people? We should think about that. Do we tell the truth or do we lie? And do we live our lives in a truthful way? Because we should be true to ourselves and to others. We shouldn't pretend to be what we really aren't in front of other people. We shouldn't lie to ourselves or other people. Sometimes people keep telling themselves lies over and over again, the same lie, and then that stirs up false hopes for them. And people lie so often that it starts to seem like the truth to them eventually, even though it's not. We should remove all types of lies from our lives. Okay, don't lie. And we should never include lies when we're talking to people. Because is it really going to make a difference if they value us a little more just because of things we say to them that aren't true? It's not worth it at all. Even if others are impressed by us after we lie to them, is it really worth it? We must remember that we will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. And that's why we should focus on what He thinks about us. Okay, instead of what others think and lying to please them. Because other people are just people like us. They're going to die one day, just like all of us. So there's no need to harm ourselves because of them. The truth will come in handy on the Day of Judgment. So we have to be truthful in life. And the belief of the Christians was based on lies. Right, so of course none of it is going to benefit them on the Day of Judgment. No matter what they do after this belief, it will not benefit them. Even if they do so much to help mankind, if they try to help humanity, whatever they do, because their belief is based on lies. So their basic belief is not correct. So we should never leave Tawheed. Okay, the belief that there's only one God, that is the truth, the ultimate truth. And for the truthful people, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They shall have gardens beneath which rivers flow to live therein forever. They will live there forever. اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ O Allah, make us among them. Now here, it would have been enough if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had just said khalidina fiha, right? That they'll live there in them eternally. But He also added abada, which means forever and ever. So we know that once people end up there, they're not going to be expelled from there. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. That is the greatest reward of all. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval, Him being pleased with them, is mentioned first. That He is pleased with them. And then it says that they'll be pleased with Him. How? In what way will they be pleased? They will be granted so much by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there that they'll be well pleased. And then they'll be asked if they are pleased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them. And they're going to say, why wouldn't we be pleased, O Allah? You protected us against the punishment, admitted us to Jannah, that's full of all these blessings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that there's still one promise left that has to be fulfilled. And that's when He will enable them to see Him. He will grant them the ability to see Him. Subhanallah. So the people of Jannah will be pleased. But His being pleased with people is a great thing. Okay, that's why it's mentioned first. People are pleased when they get a certain amount of blessings, right? A few things and we're happy. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is pleased with someone, it means that He has accepted their good deeds. He has approved of what they did. And He likes their good deeds. So that's a great accomplishment. So we should be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in life as well. Be happy with whatever He decides for us. With His rules. With His deen. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ That is the mighty achievement. O Allah, grant us that achievement and make us among the people You are pleased with. The successful people. Ameen. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ Only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the end. That He is the king of this whole dominion. And He has the power over everything. He can do whatever He wills. And He can change things as He pleases. Nobody can interfere with His decisions. Whatever decisions He makes, no angel, prophet, or person can interfere. He is the king of the skies, the earth, and whatever is in between. Which means us too, right? That includes us because we live on the earth too. So He is our king as well. So we should listen to Him and admit the truth that He is the king. People say that they want to do whatever they feel like doing. That they want to be free. But we should all remember that our real owner, our master, is our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And He has power over everything. Everything that we can think of and all that we can't even think about. Okay, all that we can't even remember. He has power over everything. Alhamdulillah. We have just completed a beautiful surah. And we learned from this surah about some of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about certain haram and halal things, meaning the prohibited and lawful things, and about what He revealed down to us. He made us understand the importance of the wahi, the divine revelation that was sent down, so we can value it and benefit from it. Okay, we have it. It's a great blessing that we have access to it. So we should try to understand it, learn these ayat, try to understand them, and implement what we have learned in this surah and whatever we've learned so far in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts in learning this surah, and may He make it easy for us to do whatever we have learned before it's too late. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we'll finish up here today, and congratulations to you all on completing this beautiful surah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.